Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The Commerce Department today says that the U.S. trade deficit widened sharply in July from a four-year low in June as companies exported fewer goods and imported a record number of foreign-made autos. The trade gap rose 13% to $39.1 billion. That's up from June's $34.5 billion, the smallest since 2009. Imports increased 1.6% and exports slipped 0.6%. Yesterday afternoon, after the closing bell, NASS released its latest crop progress report for the week ending September 1. The numbers look like this. Corn in dough stage, 84%. Versus 70% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 89%. Corn that is dented, 42% versus 23% last week, and the five-year average of 61%. Corn rated mature, 4% versus the five-year rolling average of 17%. Corn crop conditions, good to excellent, 56%, that's down 3 percentage points from last week. Fair, 28%, poor, 11%, and very poor, 5%. Soybeans, setting pods, 92% versus 84% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 96%. Soybean conditions, good to excellent, 54%. That's down 4 percentage points from a week ago. Fair, 31%, poor, 11%, and very poor, 4%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 14,807. It is down 20 points. The NASDAQ, 3,098, up 12 and a quarter. And the S&P 500 is 1639. It is unchanged from the opening bell. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Not much precipitation will occur across the Midwest as we go forward through the day today, or for that matter, over the next two or three days. The exception will be in the northwestern and some north central portions of the Midwest where some random shower and thunderstorm activity will pop up. Most of this precipitation will not be very significant, running a few hundredths of an inch, upwards to 5 or 6 tenths of an inch. And for the most part, it's going to impact probably less than 10% of the region today, maybe upwards to 15% over the next 2 days. We don't expect very many areas to be impacted. A cool front will settle southward from Canada into the Great Lakes region, though, and that will occur over the weekend. As that frontal system comes into the region, we'll likely see an increase in scattered shower and thunderstorm activity across a fair amount of that particular region, and perhaps reaching down into portions of northern Indiana, northern Ohio, and northern Illinois, perhaps even into portions of northern Iowa. The frontal boundary will become stationary and then work its way back to the north as a warm front as we finish out the weekend and move towards the first part of next week. The frontal boundary will allow for some strong thunderstorms to develop as we finish out the weekend and as we go on into the early part of next week. Now, the majority of this precipitation is going to be initially light when the front comes down from the north initially, and we'll likely see that result in rain totals running just upwards to 5 or 6 tenths of an inch and mostly just erratically distributed rainfall. As we bring the warm front back into the area northward, we'll likely see a greater amount of precipitation possibly developing, and that will likely occur in northern Illinois, parts of Wisconsin, maybe the extreme northeast corner of Iowa and Minnesota. And that frontal system will likely generate some precipitation of greater significance. That's when we may see quarter to three-quarter inch amounts and some local totals getting upwards over an inch, but it's not going to be a very large area that's impacted in that manner. The frontal boundary will go ahead and push out of the northern parts of the Midwest rather quickly as we move towards the first part of next week. but an upper-level low-pressure system expected to move eastward across the northern plains and parts of Canada's southern prairies will bring another chance for rain and thunderstorms into the northwestern Corn Belt as we move on into the first part of next week, Sunday and Monday in particular, and the frontal boundary will probably slow its forward advancement as we get into midweek next week due to ridge building that's going to be over the Midwest. The frontal system may stall out and will offer an opportunity for repetitive shower and thunderstorms to occur from parts of the Central Plains into the western Great Lakes region as we go from early to midweek next week. The question is will the front completely dissipate or whether it will stay as an active system and just be slow moving? If it's the latter solution, we may see some locally heavy amounts of rainfall, but for right now, we'll just have to sit back and watch and see what happens. But the potential is there for some greater rains to occur in at least a portion of the Central Plains and a part of the Western Corn Belt if the frontal system ends up stalling out. In the meantime, we have two tropical systems that are surrounding the eastern parts of the U.S. The one is going to be in the western part of the Gulf of Mexico, and it's likely to generate a frequent occurrence of showers and thunderstorms across that area and probably impact portions of southern Texas as we move through the week next week. In the second case, the tropical disturbance is near the Lesser Antilles today and will be working its way northward through the southeastern Bahamas and eventually up towards Bermuda as we move on into next week. That storm system could be the primary reason for the frontal boundary I just mentioned for stalling out over the western Corn Belt. If that happens, eastern and lower portions of the Midwest may not see a lot of precipitation next week, and we may end up seeing a lot of net drying conditions. Our temperatures are going to be warm. We'll likely see a lot of 80 and 90 degree temperatures returning back to the Midwest this weekend into next week. The only areas that will be cooler will be the Great Lakes region and the far northwestern Corn Belt. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red December wheat, 698 down one. Soft December, 645 and a half, down 1 3/4. September corn, 490, down 8. December, 470 3/4, down 4 1/2. September soybeans, 1405 and a half, down 30. November, 1362 and a quarter, now a half, down 24 and a half. September soybean meal, 477.60, down 780. October, 435.10, down 840. September soybean oil, 43.47, down 35. October at 43.39 is down 51. October live cattle, 126.20, unchanged. September feeders, 157.50, up 32.5. And October lean hogs are 88.52.5, and they are up 52.5. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you again.
Seems as though the market is trading every drop, and I mean drop, of moisture that we see these days.
Yeah, I think realistically the weather sensitiveness of this crop, especially the beans, has been an issue. We didn't get the rains that some of the guys had forecasted over the weekend, so Monday night and Tuesday morning we came in a little bit better. But when we failed to take out last week's high, basically the old adage, if you're not going higher, you're going lower, and since we didn't take out that high, we just backed up. I think right now the trade is fixated on the meal market as far as looking for guidance, and when it just made some lows here just a little bit ago, the bean market kind of tailed off.
We did have Allendale announce their producer survey today, and beans, 39 BPA.
You know, that's a number we've been carrying in our numbers since last week. It's been a little bit difficult to get below 40 because once you get down to 40 bushel, you don't have a carryout to speak of. Yesterday, I think the trade was a little bit reluctant. Maybe last week we dialed down to near 40 bushel. Trying to take it below 40 at this particular point in time, if you're trying to be ahead of the curve, that's where you go. But agronomically, we still have, you know, week, 10 days, 2 weeks of potential rain, if it were to develop, that would impact our yield and maybe keep you above that 40 bushel mark. So the trade is probably unwilling to really take that number below 40, and that's why we probably failed to rally as smartly as we could have yesterday.
So now we're in a range-bound trade with the tops being the triple top that we saw twice this week and then once last year, and the bottom of the range is the gap that was left over from last week.
Yeah, I think that's a very good assessment of the situation, and I would say that now we're going to dial in the numbers for, we got another crop condition report coming out next Monday, and we've got the USDA supply-demand report next week. I think we're trying to set up a defensive stance ahead of that USDA numbers. A lot of people are trying to dial back the acreage number because of the FSA numbers that we've seen, but we're going to probably dial in the same numbers that we saw last month and maybe just bring our yield number down and basically put a fairly tight number at the bottom line.
A quick word on corn before we let you go.
Corn, we think for the most part it's made, but I did notice that 42% of the crop is dented, 61% is average, so it is behind. Our assessment is that 75% of the dry matter in the kernel has been established at dent stage. So the corn crop is fairly well made, but we've got a long way to go.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Dave.
That's Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Current tick in the marketplace, September corn is 490 down 8, December 470 down 5 and a quarter. September soybeans, 1405 and 3 quarters, down 29 and 3 quarters. November is 1365 and a half, and they are down 21 and 1 quarter. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.